Second 16 of Isaiah tonight, and we're going to do as we did last time. There's lots of things that are, lots of nations that are being judged here, and chapter 16 is Moab, and Moab is in the south part right here, actually the eastern part of the Dead Sea. Moab is right in this place right here, and so that's the thing that is being worked on in this chapter 16. Let's read along as we did last week, and when we find a place that you want to comment on or have a question on or something, we'll stop, or if I have a comment, and we'll move right along. Lots of things that are judgmental of these different things, and things, some things are very helpful to stop at. Let's read together at the beginning of verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of daughter of Zion. The lamb, see, to the ruler. Now, the women of Moab are anticipating the Davidic kingdom, and the lamb is supposed to be probably a sacrifice. Let's read verse 2. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. What would a wandering bird cast out of the nest be like?
Sick.
Sick? What else? That's right.
Lost their home.
We? What is it?
Lost their home.
Learned to fly. And so the daughters of Moab, in other words, they just sort of, they're not used to being out of the nest, these birds. Let's read verse 3. Take judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, the rain on him that wandereth. What's the verse 3? Take counsel. That's a good idea for any of us, isn't it? Where do we get the counsel, this proper counsel? The Lord himself and the Word. And execute judgment. What's that? Judgment or justice? Yes, ma'am?
Counsel remains
in Yes.
Especially
men that walk in the way of the right. So walking out in the council, the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the sea of the swarm. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose brings forth his fruit in his season, and his fruit will not wither, his leaf will not wither. What shall you do with so far? The ungodly outlet, says the son. Like the chaff, the wind driveth away. So that's Psalm 1, the counsel. And execute judgment, that's righteous, judges, righteous justice is what it is. Make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Now, how can you not do that? The shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. It's hard to make a shadow in the night, isn't it?
Well,
there's moonlight, you can make it. Hide the outcast, we rain out him that wanders. In other words, shape yourself up. These are Moabites, and apparently the women of Moab. Let's read verse 4 together. Let my outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. A covert means what? A covert.
Shelter?
A shelter, all right? A covering and a shelter for them that face the spoiler. We ought to be a covert and a helper to those that are in need of coverts. Verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. This is the foreshadowing of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ there in Jerusalem, the Davidic covenant, the Davidic kingdom. And mercy. By mercy shall the throne be established. And a ruler should rule in mercy, and that's not always the case, is it? And he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. So that speaks of the reign of Lord Jesus, I believe, in the millennial reign of Christ, seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. So you see, Isaiah sometimes talks about other nations, talks about judgment of other people, but always comes back many times to the future reign of the Lord. Alright, verse 6. We have heard of the pride of Moab, for he is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Look at that person. Pride, is that good or bad? Pride, good or bad? It's very bad, isn't it? Proud? Haughtiness, what's the difference between haughtiness and pride? Or is it about the same?
private work, that's different.
Well, I don't want to jeopardize somebody's work.
Private money is being saved.
All right. Holiness will show in the face, it'll show in the actions, it'll show in the words many times. It's pride lifts itself out in holiness. It's pride and it's wrath. So, does sometimes proud people be wrathful? Pardon me? When they're offended, and when they're crossed, and they cross a proud person, they're angry and wrathful. I remember Mr. Keyes, Alan Keyes, on his broadcast last time on the TV, he's got this MSNBC. He talked about this book that a woman wrote saying that it's all right for adults to have sex with children. This is the situation. Wasn't right, was not, maybe it's all right sometime. And they had on there this Dr. Elder, Joy Lynn Elder, she's a former Surgeon General. Boy, I tell you, talk about wrath. Every time Alan Keyes would shoot that thing down, and that's horrible having this children at this risk and so on, she would shoot up with a big mouth up there, she got a big mouth there, and she just would shut right out, just she'd be angry, wrathful, see? Proud and wrathful. And they had three women. They had Elder, and they had one that was, killing babies, whatever you call it, I don't remember what you call it. Abortion, that's, with population control, I don't know what you call it. Planned Parenthood, that's how you got it, Rosa, thank you. Planned Parenthood, then they had this lady who was for decency and morality and probably a Christian or something. Well, she just went after those people went and left, and Alan Keyes went after, so Alan Keyes and this other woman against these other two. And she said, you haven't even read the book. Yes, she didn't think she was there. See, the thing about it is this lady who's the elder, just my elder, whatever her name is, the Surgeon General formerly, she wrote a preface to this book. And she started out the whole program saying, I don't agree that children and adults should have sex. And then Keith said, well, if you don't agree with that, why don't you put a preface to this book? And then the other said, haven't you read the book? Oh, yeah, there's wrath on that lady, Jack Larry. She was a doctor, she's a doctor. And his lies shall not be so.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
We didn't say the judge's name. We just did the big. They wasn't very straight or direct commentary, but it's from a snippet somewhere. This liberal judge, of course, it's a liberal judge, but. Was trying a case for a 47-year-old woman, like a 47-year-old woman who had sex with a 13-year-old boy. There's nothing wrong with that.
I remember that. So, our children are at risk, there's no question about it, but angry because of the pride. Let's go to verse 7 there. Therefore, shall Moab howl for Moab. Everyone that shall howl for the foundations of Kiriath and Hareresh shall be mourned, shall ye mourn. Surely there is quickly. They shall be stricken. Verse 8. For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah, the lords of the heathen, have broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come down into Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Their branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. So they're in bad shape, all this breaking down of plants and bushes and everything. Verse 9. Therefore I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibmah. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon, and I laugh for the shouting for thy summer fruits, for thy harvest is fallen, and the gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful full field, and in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall be any shouting, the treasures shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage surely to cease. So here's the gladness taken away. We find that sometimes even in believers' lives, saved people, like what takes this gladness out of our life?
Trials,
troubles, many times. And that's where Paul in his writings always reminds us, tribulation, or patience, patience, so on. And even in hard places, like Paul as he writes from prison and so on, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, I say rejoice. And there's joy. But in this case, with all the heathen in Moab that were wicked, God took away the joy out of their carts out of the fields, the vineyards, there should be no singing. Apparently, when they had a good crop, they would sing. Places that have a good crop of grapes, no shouting. Treaders shall tread on no wine in their presence. I have made their vineyard shouting to see. The Lord is sometimes says, all right, stop it. And they're mourning instead of singing. Let's read verse 11. Wherefore my bowels shall sound like a harp for Moab, and my inward parts for Kir-Hareth. And it shall come to pass, when it is the scene that Moab is weary on the high places, that he shall come to his sanctuary to pray, and he shall not prevail. Now notice here you've got a foxhole religion. What is that? What is foxhole religion?
You're talking
to me. Does that seem like this when it's here? You're weary. As you come to the sanctuary to pray, but it shall not prevail. Whose prayers does the Lord hear?
Righteous.
The righteous. Those that are saved. Does he always answer the way the righteous want him to answer? No, he doesn't. But he does hear, and we've got to understand that. He does not prevail. Verse 13. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of an hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned, with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. So within 3 years, God better judge Moab. That's what he's saying. It's Isaiah, the prophet, is writing. Any other comments or questions on 16 as we read through? Well, let's go on to 17. We're just reading along, everybody see some things, we'll stop. Number one, verse one. The word of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Damascus was the capital of what country?
Syria.
There's Damascus right here, and that's the capital. And Syria, they're fighting in this whole area. After Damascus, Syria, there are lots of different difficulties. And in fact, the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus when he was saved. Remember in Acts chapter 9. To kill saints, to imprison the Christians, and to make them suffer. And the head of Syria. So God's got some judgment on Syria, and Damascus the capital. Now let's read verse 2. Let's see, where are we? Verse 2, yeah, 72. The cities of Aror are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now, what? In the city, would flocks come in the city if people are there generally? They wouldn't come in out of the fields, but if nobody's there, it's wandering all over. Sort of like, so they're going to be decimated, and they're going to be leaving their places because of judgment of the Lord. Let's read verse 2, then the flocks will come in. Verse 3, the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. What is he saying here? The glory shall be thin. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? If it were your waistline to be made thin, that's a little bit different if you need a little off your waistline. But the glory, thin.
Won't be
right. That's right. There's not too much glory, just right there. And the fatness of their flesh, lean. See, in other words, God's going to judge, and they'll be committed to thinness and leanness physically and spiritually too. Their spirits will be thin and lean as well. Now let's read verse 5. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grain shall be left in it, as a shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries on the top of the uppermost bough, four or five on the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel. If you only have a few grapes, two or three, is that much? That's not much left. See, so it's going to be a very poor crop. God's going to judge the agriculture and the crops of that time in Damascus, Syria. Let's read verse 7. And at that day shall a man look to his Maker, as I shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. That's a wonderful verse right there. Is there any time that we should not look to our Maker? Is there any time we should not have respect to Him? It should be all the time. destruction. But during this depression, during two or three berries on the fruits on the top of the branches of the bushes, then they're going to look to the maker. See, when all goes bad, nothing else helps, then they look to the maker. But we ought to look to every 17:7 is a very good book for all of us to understand. At that day, so a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, all of us look to his maker. His eyes have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Does the world have respect to our Holy One of Israel today?
No.
They're not respect. How do they evidence disrespect?
Talk back.
Deny his existence. I mean, the word name of God is every other word almost. Some of these, you can't programs by the people that you look at people in the Wendy's or in the McDonald's or in McDonald's tonight and swearing right in there, God's name of name. It's the thing that the people do. But no respect. But in that day, they look to the Maker and have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Let's read verse 8 together. And he shall not look at the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, neither the groves or the images. Talking about the persons of the idolatry, what's it mean here? He shall not look to the work of his hands, the fingers that he's made, the altars. What do the heathen worship? What do they worship? False idols, the altars, the trees and groves. It doesn't mean they're not going to look to those things. They're going to worship. They're going to look to the maker. See, that's in verse 7. Rather than the things that they have made. See, the things that they have made are one thing, but the maker that made all things. Yeah, Joe? A week or a month ago. They'll look at their idols that their fingers have made. But don't people like to take pride in what their fingers make?
Yes.
Yeah, I made this. You know, you're a shampoo, you know, different things. You build this, and Joe, you've been building a deck on your place. You know, things that you make, we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? But the owners are not what the Lord has made them. That's the important thing. Let's read verse 9 here.
In defense of George Bush, when he met with the Pope, I was pleased to see that he did not bow down to him. He shook his hand.
That's good. I'm glad of that. I didn't see that particular video.
So he didn't kiss his ring then either, huh? Good sign.
That's good. He did visit when he went over to, what was it, was it recently, the Jewish synagogues and the Roman Catholic Church, and sort of religious liberty in one of the communist nations. Where was it? Where did he go?
France.
Went to Russia. Oh, Russia. Maybe that was it. Yeah, it was in Russia. Went to the synagogue to encourage him, religious liberty. I think that was his purpose. And also the churches that he visited. So we read then for Israel, and there shall be desolation. So the cities of Damascus, Syria was a strong power. But in that day when judgment comes, it says, forsaken vow. What is a forsaken vow?
Broken
promise. And what is a vow? Not a vow, a vow. A tree. So a tree is forsaken. Be what? Broken off, no fruit, no leaves. And that's his problem. A desolation. Let's read verse 10. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange things. Notice verse 10. Is this not the case of many today? Forgotten the God of thy salvation. Do Christians sometimes forget the God of our salvation? Yes, he even saved people. They say, oh, I can worship the Lord on a golf course, or in a swimming pool, or out of the water, or in a boat. They forget the God of our salvation. That's what Israel did, wasn't it? They forgot him. What makes us remember the God of our salvation? Troubles many times. Yeah, we go back. What else? Answers prayer. How can you be reminded of the God of our salvation?
You're saved, the Holy Spirit reminds you.
Pardon me?
So if you're saved,
you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God.
Confirmations you might come up.
Confirming something that you from the Word of God. And as you read the Scripture, incessantly reminds him, as you hear the gospel preached and the word of God preached, for God and the God of thy salvation. Who saves people? Do they save themselves?
Yeah.
It's got to be God himself. It's, he said, have faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus, God, the Son, and the Son of God, and that's not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Why is God called a rock? Never changes.
Strong.
It's permanent. Doesn't slip, doesn't sink. Doesn't fall. Yeah, Bob?
You know, it's just from the Moses in the wilderness. And he said, you know, the rock is
spoken
by.
Yes.
That's
the
type of Christ.
That's the Christ, right? It is. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and that rock was Christ. And he spoke dry, and water came forth. It's a type of Christ. A type of Christ. Which is a picture. See, a picture of the Old Testament that foreshadows something that the Lord Jesus said.
We sang it. Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages. But for me, that's right. So that's like a rock. The Rock of Ages. So our God is a rock, and they've been not been mindful of that. With one of the plants, it'll be just a strange slip. How you farmers know what a slip, I guess, would be. What would a slip be?
Kind of be soft,
little tiny, tiny thing. Not too big, just a tiny thing. Ever saw her. Woe to the multitude and many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. They shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind for them that rob us. And the evening time trouble. When you go to sleep in the bed, there's trouble there. And in the morning, he is not. In other words, maybe the water's out, maybe the things are very bad morning and night. So there's lots of judgment on Damascus in this chapter 17. Any other comments you have or questions? Remember verse 7, and in that day shall man look to his maker. That's a good verse to use. Yes, go.
Verse 13. God thy talents. Normally, like, the things that are in italics are pretty consequential, but this looks pretty big. Like, how often do you see God that deserves?
Yeah, very so, that's true. But shall rebuke them. Supply there, it's the Lord that's going to rebuke them. You're right, sometimes for the sense of it. Who would rebuke them? See, if it wasn't the Lord, so that's why they put in the word God. It's a good point, don't you? Bonnie, you had a
tumbleweed.
Rolling around, yeah.
And that's what I was thinking about.
It's a song, isn't it? Rolling along with the tumbleweed. Remember that one?
Right.
Yep. Oh, anything else on 17? Well, let's go to 18. This is now the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. That's Africa, not in this area here. See, we got the Moab, we got the Syria, Damascus, and now over to the land of Ethiopia and Egypt. Africa. Let's read verse 1 together. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered in the field, for people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All the inhabitants of the world and dwellers on earth are ye when lifted up an ensign on the mountains. When he lifted up and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of tarps. Notice verse 4, the Lord said, I will take my rest. Did the Lord work 7 days in creation?
Yeah.
How many did he work? 6 days. In the seventh, he rested.
Right.
That's a picture. So I'm glad that he rested. The Lord Jesus said anything about rest? Come unto me, all you labor, heavy labor, and I I will give you rest. Now, you'll confine your word in me, and I will give you, you'll find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But God said he's going to take a rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon earth. Verse 5. For the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening on the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. Doesn't sound like he's going to have much fruit left, or very many branches left, right? Lord's not to judge, very concerned. Verse 6. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains, and to the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of the people scattered in Peor, and of people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation weeded out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts of Mount Zion. So Ethiopia is going to be judged as well, and made very sparse and sparse. And any questions or comment on 18? Yes, Lon?
Just way off the subject, but in 90, verse 6, and the fowls shall summer upon them.
Yes.
And our oldest grandson, I think he's broken his name in summer.
Yes, I think so.
And she lives in Oklahoma, and he went out to dinner to bring home.
She's got work up in that area of Maryland, yes.
And, according to our oldest son, we have a son of the fowls, his grandson. They just passed that bridge right before it fell.
Coming this way?
I don't know what they were doing.
They're coming this way toward the...
That's all I know.
That was a great tragedy, wasn't it?
They called him, according to our oldest son, this is rumor. They called him, he was okay.
He seems to be all right. Well, Summer, that's your name, is Summer.
Yeah, that's Summer,
that's a good thing. All right, anything else?
I thought when I was looking at that, reading that,
yes.
My thought went to that when the bruise of an arrow, when it comes down, it's not as wide as he's cutting off, mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening today in many areas. He's cutting off, taking out people,
mm-hmm.
Placing them in the proper areas.
Yes.
The road is narrow. It gets narrow.
Yes.
Before you learn.
Yes, that's right. Take a way down, just down the branches.
It's
pure. Cutting
it down. They're not wearing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's becoming very narrow. And you see it. It's so obvious to us.
Yes.
It's scary in a way.
Yes, it is. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Uh-huh. And many there be that go there.
Right.
Narrow, straight is the gate that leadeth to blood. Few there be that find it. Is that Joe?
Albert used to say, when he first got introduced to his church, right? They come here and that's a lot of people. Now, how can you not know? Do you understand what happened in the church? Every one of them, every person, just go to hell and pass away the church. He said in a certain way, I'm like,
that's not what the teach, but the way it is.
That's why I actually learn and see it.
Yeah, the way it is. It is
now.
Anything else on 18?
I couldn't hear. What did she say?
She said that Albert used to say, he's so narrow. Passed away so narrow. Everybody else went to hell, but in this
group, no, I didn't say that.
Well, Will's got that out there too, and so sometimes he's just trying to answer again. But the way it is now, you don't say that we're the only people who are in him by no means, but we try to lay down the scriptures, and this is what the Bible teaches, this is what we believe, and this is what's on. And that's why we preach verse by verse, so that there's the Bible, and we believe the Bible, therefore let's do what the Bible says. Well, let's go to 19, man. This is. Yeah, Ron?
Today, I go to the fingernail place. I don't know if that's really where I left my.
You know whether it's worldly or not, to go to the fingernail place, all
right? I do go.
Confession is good for the soul.
I'm glad you
don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know that often, looks right. So, anyhow, I was talking to a lady there, and she was in Dallas. Her husband was a. I told her we have a church in our house. She lives on Beetlewood in town. I was telling her, we have a church in our house. She said, oh, that's interesting. And I was explaining to her about the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, And I said, there are investors, but I said, the people like my husband, they like those, and he teaches verse by verse, and he uses the King James Bible. And that's sort of scares.
Yes.
So I tried, but that was sort of interesting, yes, like the narrow.
Yeah, and the part about narrow.
I didn't talk about narrow.
One lady called me today on the telephone, and she supports a Presbyterian church in America, BCA. And she said, I'm really getting worried. Pastor now is preaching from the NIV, and now I've got few Bibles, and I've got those in the NIV. And so now I've only looked at a certain verse in the Bible, just turn to page so and so, that's the NIV. I said, ma'am, I said, I think it's about time for you to get out of that church. So I mean, if you have the wrong Bible, it's good. And I told her about our church videos. If she can't find a good church that she wants to hear, at least join us until she can find one. There's always a way to go on. So she said, what is your website? So I gave her the website, BibleReady.org. She listened to the tapes, you know, all the different things. And so I said, people come from different places, and there are three things that I think, I may be wrong, three things that I think makes them to come this way. Number one, is the Bible, the King James Bible. That's the first thing. They appreciate that. Number two is good music. Number three, I think it's also the verse-by-verse expository preaching, teaching the scriptures and preaching it as it is. But whatever the reasons, I said a lot of people come for different ways. And so anyway, we got to get on.
Oh,
Carlos Fuentes.
Same here, same time, Jill, from
that
same program.
Yeah, Carlos Fuentes came on a Thursday Bible study. I remember Carlos Fuentes?
Was like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, about 3.5 years ago, many years ago, yes. Now, he's moved to Florida, is it?
Yes.
And what did he write about? I forget.
He used to come here, and he would start having his own ministry.
Yeah, he's got a special ministry.
But he also works he said, Pastor, can you tell me a church down here that I can go to? He said, I tried them all, and then none of them are good. None of them are sure. You know, now they have a lot of churches down here.
Oh, yes. And what's the city he's from?
I think it's Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale, that's right. Yeah. A lot of churches. But he's been to different ones.
He said they don't preach the Bible.
They have a different version, different thing. I mean, the whole world is in a mess, and in many ways, a religious mess.
I agree. I talked to a lady today. I talked to a girl yesterday. And it is unbelievable how many people will say that they're not going to leave the church, even if it's not preaching the word. I can't believe these people.
They say, my mother went there, my father went there, my grandmother went there.
Yeah. I've been there.
It's a sad thing. It really is a sad thing. And we've got to look to our Maker. All right, let's go on. Let's read chapter 19. And again, Egypt, looking forward to the desolation of the kingdom and blessings of Israel. Yes,
I was talking to somebody yesterday in Burger King, a lady 41 years old, and her mother was like 81 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother had no idea that there were Buddhists in China. I don't know why she didn't know. She was from another country. I think she had an accident. She came from this country, right? I was talking to her, listening and saying, you know, terrible. And I don't want to talk about the Bible verses, not even the church, pastor, da da da. I don't know, a whole lot of years ago, I never shared the church verses, the verses, and the
mm-hmm.
And I talked to him, and I gave him a tract, and I happened to have my Divine KGB with me.
Uh-huh.
So I told him, and like, you know how you have in the back, four for versions,
yes.
And one for verses for the stuff. So, what we're talking about, bottle. A virgin shall conceive and could use bodily, no one will have a star like that. I went through that verse for different ones. I cannot even, and that's been ever about how they take them out, and then from everlasting, KGB and NAS, maybe from ancient times, and KGC is different, but that was a lot. I was telling them, I said, the church is very, very good, and Collinswood gave them a tract about one in the race of that.
Yeah, one in the race.
Yeah.
What was that, Joe, right here in college?
I had a room in the room.
Oh, yes.
Sherry Hall. And the thing is that, I forgot to ask her name, but it occurred to me, because I knew I was going to the summit.
Yeah. Well, I thought it won't come anyway, but it's nice to tell about it.
Sorry to the people of Berkshire.
Okay, let's go on to chapter 19. Again, the burden of Egypt. looks forward through desolations to kingdom blessings with Israel. So the Lord's looking in the future. Let's read verse 1. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift plow, and shall come unto Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of him. What about this idols moved at the presence of the Lord? That's really something, isn't it? Is the Lord going to stamp idols around where he comes around?
No.
You guys, get out of the way. See, the Lord, the idols shall be moved at his presence. Huh?
Reminds of Dagon, you know?
Yes, remember the fish god Dagon in the Old Testament? The children of Israel can't just knock over. See, they put it up and it's knocked over again. Put it over the Lord, just smash them right down. Dagon, that's right. Let's read verse 2. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, and city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. See, this civil war, yeah, Ricky.
I was reading some kind of, something
about
God, and
said that
according to the
Bible, Dagon's
Bell's
father. Dagon's supposed to be Bell's father, is that it? Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I'm not familiar with that particular one. But notice this, that sometimes in the Old Testament is the way God defeated the enemies of Israel, wasn't it? He caused them to fight against each other. And they just knocked them and killed each other. And this is what happens here. The Egyptian will be against the Egyptian, fight everyone against his brother. And that's a term, that's a one way to not have to lay a hand on anybody, just let the enemy fight against each other and just all fall down. And let's read verse 3 again. And the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof, and shall destroy the council thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. Now here's a council. Do people do that today?
Yes.
All right, how do they do it?
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards, how else?
Ouija boards.
Ouija boards, how else?
They have that man on television that can tell you what you're dead for.
That's another one.
Animal psychic.
Animal psychic. There's clairvoyance. Charmers. Familiar spirits. There's astrologers. How about astrologers? What is it?
900 numbers.
What is it?
900 numbers.
To tell you your fortune, so I told
this is. He's from that big tower. He's a wizard.
I think he's a wizard. Oh, the fellow jumped off that tower and went into the boxes. He looked strange. He looked like a satanic man. Dark and swarthy, he looks like one of those Arabs over there.
Tell about that lady that's gone crazy
from 9/11. Oh yes, we have a friend whose wife, ever since 9/11, she just went right out of her mind. Christian lady, Christian man. And the home is broken, she's somewhere in different areas. It's terrible. Every time she sees one of that skin, you know, dark skin like the Iranians or wherever they are, the Arabs or the Muslims, she gets all frightened. Not the Negro, not the black race, but I mean this, yeah. It's just something, it just did something to them. They live up in that general area of New York City, not in the same place, but in that general space in that street. So pray for that family, it's a terrible thing.
Well, they, I know the old Gazis happen to be that extent. I mean, yes. I don't know what they do. She does, the Gazis, short hands.
Yes, well, she just gets all upset. And furthermore, they were going to fly, the couple was going to fly overseas. I don't remember the city or the country. Ireland, just a couple weeks after 9/11 happened. Of course, she was afraid to death because the airplane, she died, so that whole teacher just snapped into mine went. Christian lady. So, pray for the poor man.
She's someplace now. I don't know whether she's in a hospital or the phone.
I think just taking some counseling trying to get things straightened out.
And when she came up and said that she's so terrible that her husband just drove away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He was so, they were fighting so much and so on. He said he drove 50 miles just to get away from it. I'm trying to speak to David, let me just say this. Since the police brought him here, and since he was so obstreperous and disobedient and disrespectful to the home, to the parents, to the brothers, I called the police, said, what happened? And that's when they told me that he stole the flags, they dropped the charges, and then the police brought him over here, when he finally had him. So I said, sir, I said, I don't want him. Anytime he walked from the program, all the way up from Pensacola, all the way over to Collinsville, just walked. He's not a drunk. I said, if he comes here, what are my rights to do? He said, if you want him out here, you can dial 911, well, he'll be here in 2 seconds. He's crazy man. Just, it can't happen. I mean, he's my son, but as a crazy man, he's no longer acting like my son.
Right.
And as a father, I've got to protect my family, the house, and everything else. So anyway, how do we get off on that? Hey, craziness, 9-11 is a terrible situation. What verse were we on there? Number 4? Okay. And the Egyptians will I give over unto the hand of a cruel Lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. They shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be empty and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither, the paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. Fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast anchor into the brooks shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the waters shall anguish. Now, what's the point about here? Of course, in other words, they won't catch anything in the fishers' nets. The whole thing is going to be judged. And of course, Egypt has got all kinds of water, the Nile River, see. And that's what it's not going to bring forth fish. There's going to be judgment on Egypt from the Lord. We're going to stop right here at verse 7. We got next week at the same spot. But do you have any questions or comments before we close? All right, so we bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can come.